Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus 24. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the sons of Israel that they bring to you clear oil from beaten olives for the light to make a lamp burn continually. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually." So they had a lamp, and you know they would need a lot of oil for that lamp that was inside the holy place, and it was supposed to be kept burning continually. And what comes to mind to me, now remember, we are in a different dispensation here. We're reading about the Old Covenant when there was a tabernacle and then ultimately a temple and priests that, you know, ran those areas of God's places. And now today, the temple of the Holy Spirit is not in a building made with hands, but it is inside those who believe. We have we're in a new dispensation. We are under a new covenant. And in this new covenant, we have the church, which was a mystery to the Jewish people. And in this church that we have now, the temple is now man. His Holy Spirit now lives inside of man instead of in a building. And instead of having priests, we have a kingdom of priests. So much has changed. But in addition to that, Jesus is the light of the world, and we are supposed to share the light of Jesus that he's given us, and we carry around, you know, him in us through the Holy Spirit, so we are supposed to be a light perpetually. It's kind of the image or the picture of this now. We are the light of the world, and we're supposed to share Jesus's light, and may we do it perpetually. May we always be burning and showing our faith and showing the light and truth and love of Jesus that is now resides in us. So much has changed, and how beautiful of a picture it is. The seven I am statements, we'll see a couple of those today of the Gospel of John. I am, Jesus said, the light of the world. Then you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it, 2/10 of an ephah, and shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows, 6 to a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. Now, this was also the table of showbread, which was in the holy place. You shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, even an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. It shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is the most holy to him from the Lord's offerings by fire, his portion forever. So they would put out bread on the Sabbath day, and it was for the priests. It was in the holy place, and this golden table of showbread. And what do we have today? We don't have a holy place, and we don't have a table of showbread anymore, but I am the bread of life we have in Jesus. And I think, you know, it's good to think of this bread that was in the temple, and also the manna that came down from the sky when the Israelites were in Egypt and God prepared for them. And now we have Jesus as our bread. He is our sustenance. He's our spiritual rock, our foundation. He is what provides our being, our needs. And, you know, with him, we never grow hungry. Now, I don't believe that means we never grow physically hungry, but basically he's the one that provides, you know, our peace, our joy, our purpose. And what a blessing it is to have Jesus in our lives, isn't it? I mean, thinking back to, you know, my life, the first 26 years without the Lord, and I did not have his light to share with this world. And I did not have the bread of his word. And I didn't have him as a foundation. And I didn't really know what purpose was in life. And now I've got Jesus. You know, I've got the bread of his word. I've got the bread of life. I have the light of the world. And, you know, I'm not always a perfect light of him, but I desire to be. May we be the light of the world and built up on Jesus as our bread. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10, now the sons of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian. Now, that's interesting. So an Egyptian married an Israelite went out among the sons of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son, so he was still considered an Israelite, and a man of Israel struggled with each other in the camp. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name, capital N, and cursed. So he used God's name in vain, and he blasphemed the name of God. So they brought him to Moses. Now his mother's name was Shilemeth, the daughter of Debri, this tribe of Dan. They put him in custody so that the command of the Lord might be made clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the one who is cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then let all the congregation stone him. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the alien as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death. So, wow, what a significant penalty for blaspheming the name and using God's name in a cursed way. And how lighthearted our world is about this today, and how often it's done, and how there's no penalty, of course, today like this. And unfortunately, God's name is used in improper ways all the time. Now, remember, we live in a completely different governmental system. This was a theocracy. God was their king, and they were to follow his rules. And God was trying to set up a pure people who would honor him. And this is not what he wanted happening. I mean, God's trying to create a world in which people would worship him. And to have people willy-nilly blaspheming his name is not furthering the purpose of God. So he made a very harsh penalty. And sometimes we can look at harsh penalties and we can say, oh man, you know, that's harsh. But look what it would help create if people honored it. They wouldn't want to do this. They wouldn't want to violate, you know, God in this way. And, you know, he did have strict rules back in that day in order to make Israel, Lord willing, be a place that would worship God. Today, you know, we don't have a theocracy. We have a different government. It's, you know, different governments in different parts of the world, right? And it's typically not based on God's word. So, you know, we don't have this kind of justice held in the hands of the church like it was then, or in the hands of Israel like it was then. Listen to what it says next. And, you know, this is a difficult teaching. Verse 17. If a man takes the life of any human being, he shall be surely put to death. The one who takes the life of an animal. So by the way, that's just murder. So basically, if you murdered, you were to be killed. Now, you know, I'm sure if we were to go back to different laws that we've read already, if someone's defending themselves, I'm sure that would be looked at differently. This is like intentional murder. Then you'll be murdered. So therefore, guess what? We shouldn't murder, right? The one who takes the life of an animal shall make it good, life for life. So if you took the life of, say, someone else's animal, I believe that means you're supposed to provide another one in replace of it. If a man injures his neighbor just as he has done, so it shall be done to him. So, like, if somebody does something to you, then the punishment was to be the same. And again, why is this? To prohibit people from doing what's wrong. And then it says this, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, just as he injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. Thus the one who kills an animal shall make it good, but the one who kills a man shall be put to death. There shall be one standard for you. It shall be for the stranger as well as the native. You know, so God's theocracy laws and rules were supposed to be for anyone associating with Israel, for I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the sons of Israel. They brought the one who had cursed outside the camp and stoned him with stones. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, what I said was difficult about this teaching is not necessarily justice for justice. I can see how there would be good in this and how this would prohibit people from making these kinds of sins. And I think this changed pretty quickly and they didn't follow it the way that God said. And indeed, Israel ended up becoming a wayward nation that didn't follow God the way that they wanted. But he was trying to set up a purity of holiness and worship so that people would not do what was wrong. But what's difficult and what's interesting is if we were to take this into the New Testament, listen to what Jesus said. So he's quoting this passage from Leviticus, and this is Matthew 5:38. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So God, through Jesus here, set up the standard of perfection and says that, you know, no matter what someone does to you, just let them have it and turn your cheek. And if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other to them also. And, you know, this is a standard of perfection. If you want to be complete or perfect, this is what you would do. And I think this is really hard to teach on, right? Because it's so against our nature, right? I mean, you know, there'd be a lot of questions I would have for Jesus at this point. You know, if someone comes to, you know, murder me or steal from me, am I not to defend myself? Am I not to defend my family? Is this law you're teaching, Jesus, or what you're just giving us, something that's followed exactly the way you said it every single time? Or is this something that you want us to consider? You know, and we don't have an elaboration on this. They're asking questions and Jesus is giving, you know, feedback or clarification. So we're left to try to interpret it. And I think, Lord, it's hard to interpret exactly what you are saying, other than I think without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus is saying that we should consider in this life hanging on loosely and realize that our possessions, even our lives, in light of eternity don't mean as much, and that we should be looking about how we can be his representatives while we're here and showing this kind of radical love, forgiveness, or holding loosely to the things of this world would be a light to the world. People would be like, wow, look what they just did. This person wanted something and they just gave it. You know, this person needed money and they just gave it. This person was harmed or stolen from and they didn't demand their rights. They just were willing to give and be gracious, and what a great witness that would be to the world around us. So, you know, if I do believe that if there were clarifying questions, we could have learned more about what Jesus means in any and all circumstances here. But I would say this: we should not dismiss this teaching that Jesus gave us. I mean, we live under a new covenant now, so we're not under this covenant that, you know, I just read in Leviticus 24, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now we live under Jesus's teaching, and it's built on the foundation of the Old Testament, you know, but we are to see what what Jesus has to say about things and what the New Testament has to say about things. And therefore, I think we should consider his teaching and how to apply it to our lives. So we should not just dismiss this. I just think it's important that we seek to honor the Lord. And in many cases, I'll say we should be more generous and hold less tightly to the things of this world. I think of my dad. He's always been a generous man, and people have asked for money a lot over the course of his life. And, sometimes he would give it and people said they would give it back. And, many times that didn't happen. And, that would be kind of hard for, probably my mom at times, like, Ralph, you keep giving people money, not that my mom's not generous, but I think there's something to be said for that, give to those who ask of you. And it's a witness, to our lives when we do these things, it's interesting, isn't it? There's so much to think about. Like, I think as a father, I have responsibility to protect my family, and I surely would protect them from an enemy who is coming in to harm them. I think that's right and good for a man to do that, to be the protector, but I think at the same time, we can't just always think that that's the right response, not protecting our homes, but we have to consider Jesus's ways. And sometimes we're going to have to allow ourselves to be taken advantage of and just let it go and just be at peace with it. And I think that's a way to witness for the Lord. So how to apply that in every and all situation? I guess we need the Holy Spirit for that. That's about the best I can do. So Lord, help me to know how you want us to respond to the situations that we deal with today. But may we consider you and your radical teaching of love and forgiveness and graciousness, and may that be a part of our being. God bless you all.